This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bob, let's get to the important stuff first. It's actually Bob today and not a cardboard mannequin. Duck Hodges, after you told me he wouldn't, is giving me the Bellefonte snorkel. I wanted to do a nice story about them returning to L.A. to play the Chargers. That was where his somewhat legendary start was. Great game that night. He became a folk hero. And I sent him a text and I said, could we talk? And then that morphed into... Hold on a second here. Let me look it up. That morphed into after he snorkeled me for a couple of days, can you just send a text quote on what that night was like for you? And I'm getting radio silence, Bob. Pun intended. I am getting the Bellefonte snorkel from Duck Hodges. And I even sent him a copy of the story I did from his debut against the Chargers those years ago.
It was a very good story. I remember the game. You captured it well.
You said he wouldn't do this. No, he's doing this. Can you step in?
Yes, I will step in.
You will?
And I will try to help you, yes.
Okay.
You know, he's busy.
Huh?
He's busy now with Lainey Wilson.
And we're all
She's
busy,
got a big
Bob.
Career. She's, you know.
Well, Bob, I did try to give Joe a little fair warning because when I had reached out to Duck on a couple of different occasions to try to get him on the show, he gave me the snorkel and never responded to anything.
You never met him. I not only met him, I used to interview him regularly, and I followed him around the day of the game or the day before and did a nice story about his debut. This is one of the worst snorkelings I've ever received, Bob.
Well, I'm going to try to unsnorkel you.
Okay.
And maybe it won't work. Maybe it will work. I hope it works for you because I think it'll be a good kind of story leading into this game, and you still have time. It's only Wednesday.
Well, the thing's due tomorrow, so I
don't
have that
much
time. Well,
then you don't have much time. Okay.
Joe, did you hear about my interaction with Duck at the celebrity softball game?
No, what happened?
So I asked him for his phone number to come on the show and to join us.
Yeah.
Because people like Devin McCourty, Joe Hayden were really cool, and they're like, yeah, we can. And Duck said, take my email. And I said,
email?
Can I get your phone number instead? And he said, here's my email.
Here,
and
take my rotary phone number from 2002.
So I came
his
in the
email?
Next day and I said, well, yeah, we're not getting him.
He has changed his number a few times. I don't know if that's
Lainey
Wilson.
Yeah, it might be the wrong number. I could be texting the wrong person.
And I haven't, but I'll try. Maybe it's...
Just give it a try.
Yeah, why not?
Say, hey, my radio partner just needs a couple minutes or even a text, for God's sakes.
No, I think he needs to talk to you. It wouldn't take long, and he has a lot of memories about that game.
I agree,
sure.
And I don't need a 60-minute sit-down, Bob. I need two. Literally, we'll do a two-minute... drive at the end of the half.
2 minute.
The way old Duck used to do before he started to play horribly. And who knows, maybe if he doesn't get back to me, I'll accentuate that part of the story.
Don't mess with the savvy old news hound, because there is a little vengeance that comes out. I've seen it on this call when Tony calls. Hey, Joe.
How will that story be framed?
Like Ramon Foster once said, I know who has the pen in their hand, and it's not me. It's the person with the pen in the hand limits, right?
That's you. You have all the power of your rhetoric
in
your hands.
I would threaten that, but I wouldn't do that. Bob, how are you?
It's a beautiful day, Joe.
Beautiful day for beautiful you and I to have called week. Off sick. Yeah. We could be at, what if we're at Laurel right now? We could, can you imagine?
Well, first of all, it's closed. You can't go there, but we can go someplace.
Do they close in the fall and winter?
Yeah, they close. They're done in October, and they don't open until May, I think.
I mean, we could be at Bedford Springs. We could be at Old Stonewall.
We could go to Nemacolin.
We could be
Woodlands.
At Moon or Nemacolin. Or
but we're not.
Hickory
because
Heights.
We're here
we could
to
be
make
anywhere.
Sure everyone out there has a chance to call and air their opinions.
We also have a new theme song.
Yes, but, it's a very nice one.
Somebody had the brilliant idea to have a high school football conference call right before our show, and Limits was required to be there. So when I called him at 20 to 10 to say, hey, did you get that song? He said, I can't do anything right now. I'm on a conference call for high school football. Bob, do they not know this guy works at 10 o'clock?
They should. It's right in the same building here.
These
conference calls scheduled at that time doesn't
Limits?
Make a lot of sense. Maybe an hour earlier.
Could they have done it at 9? I know you probably weren't up yet, but could you have done it at 9?
We know how important high school football is here. So I felt that it was very important and very necessary for me to be in the meeting. I'm not the one that schedules the meeting. That is well above my pay grade.
I forgive him, Bob. I gave him a nice hug when he came in. Did
he's
you see
right
that?
About that. Yeah. I mean, they control certain things.
I know. Well, that's
there and,
that's my complaint yeah. here.
It was a very nice hug.
Make it at 9:30. All right, Limits. Let's start out in honor of our old friend Ron Cook, who's three deep in Fort Myers, even as we speak. Let's start out with a six-pack, Bob, and there's so much happening. This might turn into a 12-pack right quick.
As it often does.
Okay. The Steelers stood pat. Thoughts? I mean, I could go into all kinds of details, but there were affordable receivers for mid to low round picks, really, and the Steelers have multitudes of them. Do you approve of them standing pat? I don't.
No, I would have preferred the Jacoby Myers. We've talked about his name for the last several weeks. Just because of what the return was, which was a fourth and the sixth, I think they could have made a better offer than that if they wanted to do it. And I say that only because they're thin in that position to begin with. It's something they've been searching for ever since they traded George Pickens. And now, if DK Metcalf should get hurt or anybody gets hurt, you're right. limited enough. And it's going to make it pretty obvious that you're going to have, you know, Metcalf will be the lone target that I'm sure Rodgers goes after, even though he's good about moving around. But does he trust everyone? Will they get the job done? Depth is always my concern if I was a GM.
Man. Me too, but so is outscoring somebody on a week that I need to, Bob. This was a deal, and people feel like the cost, like the general reaction nationally was, yeah, the price was a little high for Jacoby Myers, especially if he's just a rental, and I don't know if he'll sign in Jacksonville. He seems to have some connections there. But so what? It's still, even if it was higher than people thought it would be, it was incredibly affordable. They have up to 12 picks next year, third rounders, fourth rounders,
and none of the picks that we're talking about, Joe, will impact whether or not they can move up into a better spot in the first round. Those are going to be more third-round picks, supplemental, you know, second, third, fourth even. But so what? At some point you have to think about now because they do have a chance. They're 5-3 on top of their division. I would have preferred they go out and do something, but it didn't happen.
Well, it's not just about insurance for DK Metcalf. Like, here were the complaints. Crack another one, will you, Limits, as we dive into this a little further? The defenses of, big surprise that Kabali has defended this move, by the way, or lack thereof. It's a tight end happy offense that doesn't incorporate many receiver heavy formations. Okay, maybe that's because they're a receiver short. Number two, the cost was too high for a rental player at a time when the Steelers are stockpiling resources to chase a quarterback. Okay, but they have up to 12 picks, and did they really need, let's say, a fourth and a fifth to go chase a quarterback next year? And will they even do that next year? I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be their quarterback next
especially
year.
With so many teams having multiple picks in the first round now, and all of them are in need of quarterbacks, it seems.
Right. Number three, offense. I keep hearing this. Offense isn't the problem around here. Okay, the offense maybe has been more consistent than the defense, but the offense, last I checked, Bob, is not exactly the 07 Patriots. They're 28th in total offense and 13th in scoring. More to the point, there's going to come a time when they need to outscore somebody. It might be Josh Allen. It might be Drake May, Lamar Jackson.
Might be this week.
It could be Danny Dimes. It could be this week. It could be Mahomes. And yes, it could be Josh Herbert. It could be Sean Payton, Bo Nix, and the Broncos. I don't know. That's the point. I don't know. You're going to need, I think, in one game, either to get in, to win your division, or to win a playoff game, if you remember what that feels like. You're going to need somebody who threatens defenses on the boundary, and he does, Myers, even though he plays inside a fair amount of the time. He plays outside very well. He didn't drop a pass all of last season. He was a 1,000-yard receiver last season. He's still in his 20s. He's dependable. He's smart. He's versatile. What are we doing here? Why didn't we do this? Do they believe in Marquez Valdez-Scantling this much? He's just a practice squatter limits, in case you didn't hear. That's where the clip was supposed to come in, Bob.
He's just a practice squatter right now. And
we're talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Bob, your thoughts on all of the... Do any of those excuses...
First of all, he was on the phone. You tortured him there. I saw this firsthand. You owe an apology.
Well, he always seems to be on the phone.
That's
before the show, during the show.
During the show.
I need to interact with the guy, Bob. He's my producer.
But you come up with him in a split second and you
turn
to him.
That's the way the show rolls. But he's on the phone. A clip that needs
to do it.
You should
have looked first and said he's on the phone.
He needs to say, I'll call you back. Unless it was the boss. Was it the boss?
It was not the boss. It was somebody that wants to talk on the show.
But that was pretty quick response by Austin.
Bob, do any of those excuses hold water for you? The offense is not receiver heavy in formation. The cost is too high, and offense isn't the problem anyway. Those are the excuses.
Well, no. Again, I say to you that I would have done it for a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about. I think they need more depth there. They need somebody to take a little pressure at times away from DK Metcalf. And you do, at some point, have to outscore people. Yes, they've been doing a pretty good job, but still their yardage numbers are down this past week. They took advantage of field position, which is nice. They capitalized, made them into touchdowns. But you got to be sure you have it against high-power teams. And at some point, they're going to be trailing and need to come from behind in a big way.
Yes.
So the more you have there, the better, I think. And given what we're talking about, which is a fourth and a sixth-round pick, I think that was more than affordable if they wanted to do it.
Okay, how about Shaheed? To me, again, very
a
affordable.
Speedster down,
yes.
Again, I know what they're looking to get. He was available also. I think Seattle made a good play there. You put him with Jackson Smith and Jigba. Those guys with Sam Darnold and the run game, which is good, and a good tight end, they're going to be really hard to stop. So I would have done that as well. I think that was only a fourth and a fifth.
That was a higher price for him, a fourth and a fifth.
And I'll say this, all due respect to those who are drafting the fourth or fifth round, how many do they really become?
The Steelers have multiple, I believe, of both next year. That's the whole point, is to go out and make a move because you've stockpiled resources. So if you need a player at a certain position, and they clearly do, go out and get him. Don't go get Jalen Waddle for a first round pick.
Yeah, I don't think that was really in play.
But do this. And here's the thing about Rashid Shaheed. He forces defenses to allocate resources toward him because he can blow the top right off. He can. Go back and look at the clip of him running 22 miles an hour. Bob, do you realize that would get you arrested in a school zone if you could run 22 miles an hour?
Wouldn't that be funny?
It's 15 miles an hour in a school zone.
If you were running and they pulled you over, you don't have a rearview mirror to see what... Are you stopping me? Yes. You know what you're doing? What speed you're doing?
22 and a 15. He ran 22 miles an hour on an 87-yard touchdown run against the Giants. He is a legit deep threat. And he's a guy, you got this tight end heavy offense. We don't want to alter it too much because it's been so great, even though it hasn't. Fine. But you must have some packages in there where you can bring Shaheed in. And when you do, they have to respect it. And as a bonus... This dude was a first-team all-pro kick returner in 2023, and he still returns. He's only 4 years into his career. He had an injury last season.
He's young. He's...
But did I mention 22 miles an hour? I don't think the injury has affected his speed. I just think they dropped the ball here on that. I was okay with no moves on defense, I guess. They could have added some depth here and there. They need a legit piece on offense, and I don't think MVS is that. Now, I'm willing to concede... He also is a deep threat when he's at his best. And he does have a rapport with Rodgers. So I'm open-minded. I'll admit if I'm wrong here and he comes out and plays well, but Bucky Brooks, who used to play in the NFL, writes for NFL.com, he labeled Jacoby Myers, quote, a savvy pass catcher, kind of like a savvy old news sound, Bob.
Doesn't drop anything.
With a high IQ, awareness, and instincts to thrive as a complimentary pass catcher in a versatile, ball-controlled passing game. Nobody has ever said that about MVS. Trust me. I think they lost out here. They lost out on a dependable security blanket, veteran complement to Rodgers that could help them win a game. And even if it was only one game that he helped them win down the road, I'd say it was worth it, especially if that game happened to be in the playoffs with Josh Allen in town, where you could victimize a bad Bills defense. For God's sakes, Mike Williams helped them win a game.
Yeah, again, I wish I would have done it. I understand the Steelers' position if they, you know, they value a lot of these draft picks. If you look at fourth-round picks over the last several years, these are players who actually help them. When you get beyond the fourth round, maybe not so much, but in the fourth round, they've had Mason McCormick. Correct me if I'm wrong. He was a fourth-round pick. Nick Herbig was a fourth. Calvin Austin was a fourth. This year, Jack Sawyer was a fourth. Right. Those are players who are already helping them. So they value that, and they want to keep those. I get it. But you're also talking about now, striking while the iron is hot, as they say, an opportunity to do something here in this particular season when you spent a lot of this offseason bringing in guys like this.
Right.
So that's the counter-argument.
No, that's the other thing that's been happening around here and is a flame on social media. Could you crack one for us, Limits? We're having a wonderful discussion at the bar here.
Yeah, I'm starting to get a little tipsy, by the way.
Ooh, a double shot, Bob. This whole all-in idea. I hear people saying, anybody who says that the Steelers were ever all-in is crazy. Then we have other people writing the Steelers have absolutely been all-in. I'll say this. They're way closer to all-in for this season than not. That's for sure. It's a matter of semantics. Did they mortgage the next year or 5 years or 10 years to go all in this season? No, but they're absolutely, you don't go out and sign DK Metcalf to that kind of deal. Jalen Ramsey, who carries a big figure. You don't bring in Darius Slay on top of all that and Aaron freaking Rodgers if you're not at least mildly all in, like the lesser version of all in. If you're not trying to win, that those acquisitions are not a play for the future. Let's put it that way. So they're way closer to all in on this season than not. That's a fact. We can play with the semantics all you want. They're closer than not, and this lack of action did not fit that theme. They'd still be sitting here with 10 picks, maybe, in next year's draft if they drafted a fourth and a fifth and brought in a guy who last year had over 1,000 yards and 80 catches and didn't drop a single pass and can play slot and outside equally well and played with a crappy quarterback, by the way. Like, Jacoby Myers is really good. I think he's a high-end number two receiver. What are you doing? They should have done it.
Yeah, I would have done it. And for the reasons you say, all these moves in the preseason were done to try to help them now as they continue to try to search for the future, and they're doing both. But by bringing in Ramsey and Slay, by bringing in Rodgers and Metcalf, you're talking about now.
And Jonnu Smith, I forgot about Jonnu Smith,
that's right. So they have a lot of moves they made, which indicated, and I applaud this when they did it, and I still do, because you're trying to win now. So this would have just been an extension of that, and I thought for sure they would get some wide receiver in this, and they didn't, so.
And there were affordable ones.
It's almost 2 years in a row we've gone through the same narrative.
Well, at least they brought in Mike Williams, and he did win them a football game.
Right.
That's pretty significant.
Yes, it is. But I think Jacoby Myers is an upgrade for sure from him.
For sure, yes. Limits, could you please crack one?
I would love to.
Nationally, Bob, the big news was Sauce Gardner to the Colts. And I'd like to say this on that front very succinctly. The Colts are all in. You might think they won. You might think they lost this deal. They're trying to win a Super Bowl this season, and I admire that. I love that trade for them.
And they also have a nice situation in that they have a quarterback who's making $14 million on a 1 year. Now, there could be more down the road if he has this and finishes out well and wins playoff games, and they want to sign him longer term. But for now, it's a good move. And if you look at the way their corners have played, it's been up and down throughout the course of the season. They felt an opportunity to get a 25-year-old two-time All-Pro. That's not easy to find those guys. Although I don't think he's having that great of a year.
He's not, but he was banged up.
I understand. But I'm saying he's 25. You know, he's going to be around for a long time. They just signed him.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you did that, and the market is still a good market for what they're looking at. So they have money to spend. And they're trying to win absolutely now. They have a number one seed even after that loss, I think. They're 7-2. And they're gonna try to get in, get home field. If they get home field, it's a whole different ballgame.
Playing
that place. So
I
give them a lot of credit for that. And they're the owner's widow, is that who she is down on the field all the time? She was taking notes last week here in Pittsburgh. And, you know, she must be all in on trying
to figure. She's impressive when I've heard her speak.
And she doesn't, from what I understand, she doesn't dictate anything. She's just watching, observing, and if asked, will give opinions. So you don't see that style.
I admire them for it. You know, all we heard when the Rams were trading to win Super Bowls, first-round picks, oh, my God, they're mortgaging
their future.
They're
taking a page out of the Rams. That's a good, you know, they're
where are they
going to
be?
About the number one picks.
What's going to happen to them? Oh, they're going to be one of three or four teams with the best chance to win the Super Bowl this year? Mostly because they have a quarterback. I mean, that's sort of the name of the game in this business. And I'm not comparing Danny Dimes to Matthew Stafford. But if you have that, you don't need necessarily a bunches of first-round picks to build around that. You just simply don't. First-round picks, how often, you know, there's a lot of misses. Well, Fatanu and Harmon both look good right now, but let's wait on them. Let's go before them. Broderick Jones, Kenny Pickett, Najee Harris, Devin Bush, Terrell Edmonds, T.J. Watt, big hit. Artie Burns, Bud Dupree. Okay? That's for the Steelers. Now let's go look at the Jets, Bob, and their first-round picks through the years.
They've gotten a lot of picks, but they haven't made it.
There's just no guarantee that you're going to hit. Like, the Colts gave up two first-round picks. That is an exorbitant price. But the way the Colts are going, those are going to be low first-round picks, and the Colts went for it. And I admire it. And I'll tell you this. If the Steelers had made that exact same trade yesterday, I would have come in here and been praising them to the high heavens, Bob.
I mean, absolutely, given the injuries and the fact that they're one or two more injuries away from having not many options when it comes to cornerback. So I don't know if I would have gone two first-round picks. I think that price was a little bit high. But I get what they're doing. And if you're the Jets, I also agree with what they're doing. They are 1-7 with those guys. They could be 1-7 without those guys. Now, here's the thing about the Jets. They've had multiple high picks over the years, including Sauce Gardner,
right,
including Quinnen Williams, including Breece Hall, who was another guy expected to leave, and they haven't done anything with them. So it's incumbent upon them, by having five first-round picks and two second-round picks in the next two drafts, to make all of them hit. They've made guys hit, and they still can't figure it out.
Limits, do you know who the Jets' all-time leading passer is? Wrong.
Joe Namath.
Yes. Do you know who their all-time leading rusher is?
Curtis Martin.
Okay. You and Donnie get a steak dinner.
I don't know who the wide receiver is going to be.
At a place of your choice, if you can tell me the all-time Jets receiver. You and Donnie, I'll take you out for a steak dinner. You're 2 out of 3.
I know that it's somebody from like the 70s to 80s range, and I'm trying to think of the name.
It's too bad, Bob, isn't it? You can almost
taste. Is it
taste,
Johnson?
You can almost
last
taste.
Last name Johnson.
Taste the steak, can't you?
You sizzled, but you didn't deliver.
Donnie really liked the sweet potato crumble as well when we went to Roost Chris. Don Maynard. I'm sorry, Limits. Good try.
Close.
I'll give you one of those. How about I'll give you one of those per day?
Okay.
To redeem
that.
The steak?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I've been giving him shots at it, Bob, and he's come close. I will say that.
I'm at the goal line, Bob.
In the end, I admire the Colts. And I think, you know what? I think their franchise is going to survive. It's two first-round picks. They're both going to be low in the first round. As far as I know, they still have their second-round picks, don't they?
I believe so, yes.
So I'm pretty sure that franchise is going to survive. And now they have a guy at a very important position in Sauce Gardner.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Next. Thank you, Limits. Bob, the first college football rankings came out. College football playoff rankings, I should say. And who would have bet before the season that Pitt would be on there at number 24 and that Penn State would be nowhere to be found? Huh, Limits? Nowhere to be found.
And winless in the Big Ten.
With a fired coach and winless in the Big Ten.
Yep, and nobody having any idea who the next coach is going to be. I'm going to be very fascinated to see what the environment is like in that stadium on Saturday, Bob. Noon game, I'm going. It's going to be strange, I feel like.
It will be strange, but I think at this point, what can you do? If you're a Penn State fan, you can't take it out on Terry Smith or that team. What are they going to do?
Who cares about them? The news is that Pitt is ranked and that Pitt is going to have
Pitt
some
kinda
big
controls its
games.
Destiny here.
They can. So let me ask you guys.
Yes.
I haven't heard back from Stephen Thompson yet. I'm hoping we can have him on from the Post-Gazette. I heard Crowley mention this today. I don't want to misquote him. I think he said if Pitt wins out, they'll be in the college football playoff automatically. Is that a fact?
No.
Because there's like 19 teams with one tie, well, one loss in the ACC.
No, I understand. That's my point. You have a lot of teams that are still, if they win out, I still believe they'll get in, but it won't be automatic.
But let's start with if they win out, are they automatically in? No. Because first of all, I don't even know if they get to the ACC title game, which you'd have to win.
Right, because of the long jam of these. Virginia's still undefeated, and you have five teams, I think, with one loss.
So, Limits, what I need from Steven, one of the things I need from him, is the tiebreakers.
Oh, try to read the tiebreakers.
Well, there was when Pitt played Urban Meyer and Alex Smith in the Fiesta Bowl. Remember that all those years ago, Bob? I was there. Actually, Urban Meyer wasn't there. Urban Meyer and Walty weren't there by game time. I believe there was a four-way tie at the top of what was then a seven-team Big East. Only seven teams were left because everybody had bolted. And the tiebreaker was your combined record within that little grouping of four, as I recall.
The teams that are in the same bracket, right? The same.
Yeah. What is your combined record? You know, if it was Pitt, Syracuse, West Virginia, and Boston College, let's say, what's your combined record within that grouping?
And you still have ties.
But Pitt did get in. I don't know what the tiebreaker is, Limits, if there's three or more teams tied here with one loss.
Yeah, first for like a two-team tie, be head-to-head, but then it's winning percentage against common opponents.
I think that's it. Winning percentage
all
against
right, well,
common
look at
opponents.
Pitt right now, then.
It would take us too long, Bob.
I know.
Because there's five other teams.
And that's why it's not guaranteed. However,
I think Pitt should go if they win out.
I think they should
win the regular season.
I think they should be one of the picks. They got 12 teams here. You're going to tell me they're going to go on an 8-game win streak. They're going to beat number 10 Notre Dame. They're going to beat a ranked Georgia Tech team. They're going to beat a ranked Miami team, even though they're falling apart. I think that's a strong way to finish. And if I'm looking at it from their point of view, I would consider that strongly to be one of the at-large teams if they don't get into the ACC championship.
I'm going to be honest here. I would have to sit down and look at a lot of team resumes. But I will agree with this, that Pitt would have an interesting case. If you, even Florida State was ranked at the time. So that, to me, that counts as a win over a ranked team because you helped them become unranked. In fact, you made them unranked. They were 25th at the time. You beat four ranked teams and win 8 games in a row and beat number 10 Notre Dame. One of the bad things that happened, I think, was Georgia Tech losing the other day, because then you would have had 2 top 10 teams in a row to beat, Bob. I think
it would have carried a lot more.
And I think Miami dropping. On the other hand, what if Georgia Tech and Miami hadn't lost at all and could still beat Pitt in a tiebreaker, even if Pitt beat them? It's getting very confusing.
Here are the first-round matchups as they are right now, based on yesterday's release of these rankings, where Pitt is number 24, right?
Yeah.
So Oregon would be number 9 against number 8 Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Memphis would get in against number 5 Georgia.
Doesn't a team from there have to get in?
Yes. But I want to ask you about that anyway. Virginia, number 11. This is where Pitt would come into play. Number 11 against Ole Miss.
Virginia assuming they've won the ACC title game.
Right. And number 10, Notre Dame against BYU. Now, if Notre Dame loses to Pitt, I wonder what that would do to them.
They're done. No, at least a team last year that had 3 losses did not make the college football playoff.
Pitt can knock Notre Dame out of the playoffs.
What a game that's going to be. I wish.
I have to call a game at 1. If it was a night game,
I wish it was, but they play the Steelers
Bob,
play the
are
very
you going?
Next day.
I do a pregame show over there.
Yeah, so I do it all week. But my point is, next day they got a Steelers game, so they wanted that, I'm sure, to be earlier than later. That's probably a factor in this, but
that's a good point, Bob.
This is my point here.
Hold on. I want to praise you more for that point. Yeah, I wasn't thinking.
But the night games would be hard to turn around, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
All right, let's talk about Notre Dame. This is the one slot I'm looking at for Pitt. Right now Notre Dame's in it. If they suffer a loss to Pitt, that would knock them out, creating an opening there, I think. Should they be the team? Now, a long way to go with other teams winning also along the way.
Give me another candidate who might be battling Pitt for that spot.
Let me look at this.
Why don't you look at it for a moment?
Utah, for one. They're ranked 13th. Now, both Georgia Tech and Miami are both ranked. But Pitt would end up winning against three straight ranked teams. I think that plays into their
advantage.
Pitt
has to win out.
Also, the Washington Huskies are in there. They have 2 losses. Every one of these teams has 2 losses that I've just mentioned.
Right, but if you're saying if Pitt wins out, goes to the ACC title game and loses,
they should still get in.
Would be a 3-loss team.
No, they wouldn't. I'm saying if they don't get to the eight, there's a chance they can only even get to the ACC title game.
So is Pitt one of these rare cases where they're better off winning out and not getting to the ACC title game?
This.
But
if
then
they,
you lose your chance for an automatic bid.
I understand that, but with a 3rd loss, you would also lose your chance to get in as an at-large.
This is fascinating. Where do you stand on
this? If Notre Dame loses and Pitt beats them, I'm telling you that would create an opening, at least one opening.
You're right. Now we're getting to this idea of would it be best for Pitt to win out in the regular season and not go to the ACC title game and risk that.
But I just look now at these tiebreakers.
I don't think it would be. I think you got to get there and win.
Okay, but if you don't, then what?
I don't know.
You have 3 losses and you didn't win the championship game. So then what?
You'd have 2 losses and didn't win the championship game.
No, you'd have 3.
Oh, because you lost the championship game.
That's what I'm saying. If you lose
then you're definitely not getting in.
Right. So I guess my question is, because I looked at tiebreakers, it goes way down to the 5th one here if you're going to talk about these many teams involved. I have no idea how that's going to work out. They may not even get a chance. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I still think they make a strong case beating 3 straight ranked teams.
I agree with you. They would have a strong case, or at least be considered. Like I said, I'd have to really do some resume comparisons here. But I didn't think Pitt was going to be playing in games of this magnitude anyway. Notre Dame game is gigantic. They have Notre Dame on the ropes here for the college football
playoff.
Coming
to Acrisure Stadium, it'll be a crazy crowd. Those noon starts just bug me, but that's what we have to do.
I know.
There's not enough ramp-up time.
One of my favorite Pitt games of all time was when Wani was the coach. There was a light snow falling like ticker tape, Bob. And Notre Dame came to town for a Saturday night game. I think Golden Tate, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He returned a punt for a touchdown, if memory serves, but Pitt won the game. Pitt won the game, and it was a beautiful thing. Notre Dame is still, they're an attraction, right? Limits. You play Notre Dame, it's a big game.
It's a huge game if you play Notre Dame, and I do think that they win out, that they will make the college football playoff, whether they go to the ACC championship game or not, because some of those wins are just going to be too impressive.
Are they, though? Like, because Georgia Tech's becoming less impressive, and so is Miami. So do you guys both really think, like, you'd be willing to bet on it without doing the resume comparison?
Before I make bets, you'd have to.
That if Pitt simply wins these final three games and doesn't go to the ACC championship, they're in?
I think that would be now, but I'm also saying there are going to be other cases that evolve here that will challenge that. What I'm saying to you is their path may be better suited to win these three and not get the ACC championship game and wait. Maybe. I don't know.
Man, it's fascinating.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather.
It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Bob, if memory serves, we were in the middle of a six-pack, were we not?
Yes, we were, and we're starting to guzzle now because time is short.
All right, up next. Man, there's a lot going on here. Up next is the Penguins putting Tristan Jarry, sort of oddly, on injured reserve and calling up Mirishov, who in Wilkes-Barre, and this is a big story. I felt like he should have been here at the beginning of the year, but okay, they've gotten pretty good goaltending so far. This dude, after a great camp in which he legitimately won the job and should have been the starter, is 5-2 in Wilkes-Barre with a 173 goals against and a 937 31 save percentage and a shutout. I have thoughts, Bob. Here's two of them. Start him against his countryman Alex Ovechkin tomorrow night in what already is a drama-packed game because we don't know how many more we're going to get with Ovi, Sid, and Gino. And Jarry, I'm sure this isn't a serious, I'm not sure, but I'm guessing it's not a serious injury. He's off to a good start. This might be the best time ever to trade him, Bob. Trade him while you can still sell somewhat high. You agree?
Yes and no. I mean, I think the whole plan is to eventually move him. Although I will say this, $5 million for a goalie is not all that much money these days. There are guys making double that. He's off to a good start, yes. I thought, you know, that third period was an ambush the other night. So I would, for the time being, keep him around and see. But I want to see Mirishkov. The one thing about young players, if they are here, you should play them. They did that with Ben Kindle, and they let it ride out. You know, Harrison Brunick had some ups and downs along the way, but still, I think, worthy of being around. And so Mirishkov, if he's here, he's got to start, and not just play once a week.
Wait, why wouldn't you trade Jari?
Because
and get
I
rid
still
of
don't...
that salary and give the right. reins to Shelovs and Mirishkov.
Eventually, that might be the way. I wouldn't do it just yet. I still think there's time to do that. And I'm.
Don't you worry that he's going to revert back into being Tristan Jarry?
Maybe, maybe not. Maybe he's under a new administration of coaches. He may be different. I don't know. What I've seen, he's been very good. Not third period in Toronto, notwithstanding. But I thought that was a team collapse. You allow Austin Matthews to get in all alone on a breakaway. And
yeah.
What are you doing? You have a 3-0 lead. That's the last thing you want to do, and they did it. And all of a sudden, things changed. But I would wait a little bit still because I saw last year the old Blomqvist come up. There was a lot of expectation, and it was too hot. The kitchen was too hot for him. I'm sure Mirishkov is going to be better than that, but how about if he isn't?
Let's see. Let's find out. If he is, this might be the best time ever to trade Jari. Limits? Bob, let's say a fond goodbye, perhaps, to Jiwon Bae and Leover Peguero. We hardly knew them, did we? They have been placed on waivers. It's always possible they could clear and come back, but I doubt it. They can be minor league free agents. Two players, highly symbolic of the mediocrity. Well, no, the downright disaster of the Ben Cherington era. And what annoys me most is that Jiwon Bae kept getting chance after chance after chance. Peguero, for some reason, disappeared last season, didn't get any chances. Then he came back here this season and started out great and then stunk. And now he's 27 years old. Jack Sawinski's still around. More chances for... How about just getting good players that you don't have to keep auditioning every year? How about going out and getting good baseball players who are already proven to be good to when they show up at spring training, nobody's saying that guy is on an audition like Nick York will be next year, like Jack Sawinski still will be next year, like all their catchers will be next year. Go ahead, start naming more people. Limits, I don't care.
No, it doesn't matter who you're naming. It's all the same.
They're emblematic of it.
Exactly. And so this is why when trades are made, and when you see, oh, my goodness, the Pirates got 5 players for Joe Musgrove. Oh, my goodness. Okay, it sounds good, but quantity is not what we're looking for here. It's quality. And you can't get the kind of quality you have in making these kinds of deals. I think you got to go out right now and buy it. And if you don't buy it, you better develop it. And they're both something they haven't done well at. So I don't want to see this year 5 different guys signed for a total of $30
million. Me neither. I don't. I don't want to see Adam Frazier 3.0. Just go out and get some players. Please. Please.
You still have a very good pitching staff, one that could be better than most. And
there's
if you don't
good
add
players
to it,
that are affordable even for the Pirates.
So how would you describe their window?
How many years do Skeens have left?
That's the window. And the answer is 2 years, most likely.
Because
so if you're going to have it, if you're going to waste your time with having this guy here and not get high leverage games in a playoff that would really juice this whole town up,
yeah.
Then what are you doing? You owe it to yourself more than anything. If you're an owner, why wouldn't you want
There's
that?
There's players out there who are totally affordable, who are proven already to be good hitters. Please do something. Somebody do something, Bob. Next. Ray Fittipaldo reports that, quote, a lot of players want the Steelers to keep the changes that they made on defense. And I saw a really good breakdown by Brian Baldinger. And that was Ray on our station, Bob, I think this morning. And it's really easy to understand. You know, I mean there are complications and intricacies and everything else. But you know, you're playing a pickup football game. We're going to put two guys back so they don't beat us over the top and they don't get a lot of yards after catch. So two safeties playing safety. Then in the middle, we're going to match up pretty much man-to-man. It might be in a matchup zone. It might just be straight man, whatever. We're then going to cover people. And then we're going to rush four a lot of the time and mix in some blitzes, sure, but largely rush four. It's just a simplistic defense where we're not throwing 18 new wrinkles where guys are having to communicate, you know, last second major change and we have all these communications breakdowns. Let's just go out and trust ourselves and play good, physical, smart, simple defense. It's very easy when I looked at it with Baldinger to understand what they're doing. Anybody can understand it. And like Peyton Wilson said, who cares if they know what coverage we're in? Let's just go play.
Right. It's like having a running back who's going to get a lot of, all the carries. You know what's coming. Just and if you're confident with it, you execute it better, then they get the yard. Same thing here is true. You know, get rid of all the minutiae that leads to confusion. That's been a two-year run with this stuff. And I think their defensive line is good enough to put pressure, most cases, all by themselves. Yeah, the outside guys would like to get in there and do it. If they can't, then you got to make sure the middle range passes are taken care of. The question is, are they capable of doing that against really elite receivers? You know, that's going to be, or tight ends.
Well, and so that's far, fine. And that's true. And I agree. And, you know, are you going to want to know, are you going to want Josh Allen or Mahomes to know exactly what coverage you're in all the time? Probably not. But let's first, how about first, we simplify and play that for a while where everybody knows their role. And then you can start adding, you know, some wrinkles for playoff games.
And I think they did that last
games.
Week even. They blitzed at times when I don't think they were expecting it, but they also took advantage of no chip help for their tackles. And their tackles lost the one-on-one battle to Highsmith and Watt. That's why this week is going to be different. I think just by virtue of all the injuries they've had to tackle for the Chargers, they're going to have to decide what they do. I don't think any quarterback has been hit more in this year than Justin Herbert.
No, he's been getting killed.
Even with Alt in there, Slater was gone for the beginning of the season. But now you have who knows what you got over there. So it just feeds into what the Steelers should be able to do. But when you have guys like Ladd McConkey, you have Keenan Allen, you have Johnson, these guys – they're getting a job done. They have a good tight end, too. And if you don't get to him, you better be sure you're good with that coverage in the middle of the field.
Next. Big Ben says on his podcast, Footballin', and by the way, you can listen to the Pop and Joe show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page and the 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 Peters Township. Big Ben says Aaron Rodgers should be throwing to DK Metcalf more, Bob. And that I think that the phrase he said, throw it to your monster. He didn't get many targets the other day. Should he? And then, of course, everybody gives him grief, like on the interception. Which game was it where he got Cincinnati, where he threw a deep ball to DK Metcalf, and then it gets picked off because you're taking a shot, and then everybody bitches and moans about that.
I mean, that's
so do you want to force it to Metcalf the way Ben used to force it to AB or no?
I don't know about forcing.
No, this would be forcing. I think he even used that word.
I would say, okay. Force sounds to me like you're thrown into double coverage and it never...
Maybe.
Okay.
Great receivers beat double coverage. Would you throw it to Jamar Chase in double coverage? I would.
Not all the time, depending on the coverage. But I think the point is you got to get more involved. That's the point. You can't have 6 yards receiving for the guy who is a $150 million player. They got to do that. But to our earlier conversation, that's a lot easier when you bring in another guy on the other side who could help. And if they don't have that on a routine basis, then he's going to get doubled. Yeah, I would get him the ball more, figure out ways to do it, and that's up to the offensive coaches to figure out schemes that work for him. But you can't have 6 yards of reception by DK Metcalf in a game against the number one tee, although they got away with it in this week. But it's got to be more than that down the road.
Mark Cabali coming up next. Lastly, Bob Limits, give us one more if you'd be so kind to do that. Sunny today and a high of Dermoni Dawson, 63, a low of 38. Sydney Thornton, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. There were some wonderful little Mike Tomlin clips from yesterday, Bob, and we'd like you to listen to a series of them and tell us your favorite one. Limits, introduce these.
Well, let's first start with what happened at the very end of the game with our buddy Roman.
You know, I think it's been a steady improvement in terms of their quality of play, particularly Roman of late, other than that boneheaded lack of ball security.
It was boneheaded, Bob.
That's entry number one, Bob. Number two?
Entry number two is the practice squad.
Mike Beanie Bishop was one of those ball searchers a year ago. You guys make the decision to move on from him with the practice squad. How did you kind of come to that?
You know, I'm not getting into practice squad decisions. That's just too far down the totem pole. I'm more interested in what we need to do this week and the guys that are on the 53 we're preparing to play.
Bob, I don't know about you, but for some reason I found his news conference very funny yesterday. He had some great lines, perhaps unintentional, but I enjoyed it. Next.
Entry number three is Tomlin likes shopping, but apparently didn't want to spend any money yesterday.
Like along those lines, you said last week you guys would be buyers at the trade deadline. You already bought one in Kyle Duggar. Do you anticipate shopping around a little bit more before 4 o'clock?
We'll see what happens. You know, I like shopping.
Just not buying. One more limits, please, if you have one.
This might be the best one yet.
He's just a practice squatter right now. And
we're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
Just practice. A practice squad player for MVS.
Is he downplaying MVS there when they really plan to sic him on somebody pretty soon? All right, Bob, your four entrants for your favorite Tomlin quote from yesterday. Roman Wilson's boneheaded play. Beanie the ball searcher on the practice squad. I'm not getting into practice squads and things of that nature. Remember, he didn't want to get into carts and things of that nature all those years ago, and Mason was carted off. He likes shopping, and he's just a practice squatter. Bob, what was your favorite one?
Well, the shopping one was interesting to me. You know, he has a wife who is a tremendous fashion designer. So for him to buy Christmas gifts for her, it has to be something of top level, you know, because she knows good from bad. So he knows how to shop, but he did more window shopping, which is fine. You can do that. My favorite one is the boneheaded play of Roman Wilson, because he also couched that with how his play has been on the rise, the arrow pointing up, so to speak. But I think the message there is, hey, come on. You know how you can't make that play. But he's not. I don't think, based on that, he's going to shy away from using him.
Well, now that they didn't get a receiver, I think one guy who probably had a pretty good day yesterday was Roman Wilson. All right, they're going to keep throwing to me despite my boneheaded play. Limits, take us out with that quote since it was Bob's favorite, and we'll get to the big boy, Mark Cabali. Next on Pump and Joe. Oh, my God.
Where's
we have the general. You should have told me earlier.
He
forgot the general because he didn't tell me he was waiting.
Coming. We always know that the general is on at this time on Wednesdays.
I apologize on behalf of Limits, General. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm fine. Thank you.
It's the General Jeff Patton. General Patton, you might call him. From the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Bob, my card of the week is not Roman, for God's sakes. He's the one who made the boneheaded play. Peyton Wilson, which is yours?
Yeah, you took the one. I mean, that's the one guy who stood out to me more than anyone else, so I was going to take him too. You should let me go first once in a while as a courtesy, but you never do.
Or is it Ovechkin going for his 900th
tomorrow? I'm not going to go Ovechkin.
Does Mirischoff have a card yet, Bob?
He will. He doesn't right now.
How about Beanie the ball searcher? How about a card for him since he's gone?
All right, we'll take Beanie Bishop just because he's probably needing some help there, and so I'll give him a chance.
Limits?
I'm going with Yamamoto for winning World Series MVP.
But he won't win the Cy Young.
What do you got, General?
Good morning, guys. I tell you what, there's a lot of guesses there. Peyton Wilson seemed meritorious. I'm going to throw one of those in, but it wasn't enough to carry the card of the week. Same with Yamamoto. We'll throw a Yamamoto card in. I prepared all week to have it be Jacoby Myers or Jaylen Waddle. It was a little disappointing. I am grateful that it wasn't Jonathan Taylor because I thought for sure that that could be a possibility this week. So in the words of the legendary Ron Cook, when in doubt, talk about the quarterback. We're going with Justin Herbert this week as a preview. Herbert's a top five seller since his rookie year in 2020. And Starkey's Card of the Week listeners deserve the best. So we're giving you a Panini Prism Black graded 9 Justin Herbert. Very, very desirable card. We'll throw in Yamamoto and Peyton Wilson to go with it. And no, Miroslav doesn't have a card, or he would have been today. Ben Kendall also would be one, but he doesn't have a card.
They soon will.
We're going with Justin Herbert.
At the going,
yeah, they
castle.
Will have soon.
I have a question for you, General, just because a friend of mine,
yes, sir.
Jim Rosero, he has an Arnold Palmer glove worn by Arnold with his initials signed by Arnold Palmer. How much would that be worth, just guessing?
That's a great item. Obviously, I have to inspect it, but it, just going by what you're saying, that's probably a $2,000 item if it's a glove he wore in competition.
It was.
Those things are hard. It's hard to document those things, but most of the guys at that level had even then had monograms, et cetera, that would make it identifiable. But that's a great piece of Western Pennsylvania and golf history.
Well, my friend may be on a trip to the Card Castle. He's been there before. Okey-doke. He loves it, so now he may show you in person. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Yeah, that would be fun to look at.
Thank you, General.
You're welcome. You guys have a good week.
All right. Jeff,
great cards of the week, and a great guest next. Our friend Mark Cabali. Your chance to win the cards of the week comes from going to our contesting page, 937thefan.com. Start there, get to the contesting page right around noon Wednesday through Friday. Limits.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.